5 years ago today, the city of Flint switched its water source to the Flint River without properly treating it. That damaged thousands of lead water pipes, which the city is now replacing. Flint Mayor Karen Weaver spoke to Michigan Radio's Stateside about the project.
We've been efficient. And one of the things we know is there has never been a lead service line replacement as quick as what we have done in Flint in this country.
University of Michigan researchers developed an algorithm to determine the neighborhoods most likely to have lead pipes. The on-again, off-again use of the model has raised concerns about the efficiency of the city's pipe replacement program. U of M professor of marketing Eric Schwartz worked on the algorithm, and he joins me now. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, Doug. Thanks for having me.
So you're a marketing professor. How did you decide to get involved in this project identifying lead pipes in Flint?
Around this time in 2016, this time of the year, my colleague Jake Abernathy, who was in computer science, and I really learned that there was some data about which homes had high lead levels in their water. There was this effort underway to remove the lead pipes. However, they didn't know exactly which homes had lead or galvanized steel and which ones had safer copper. People don't think about this, but all utility companies view these residents as consumers and customers. And what I study is customer behavior and the interaction between firms and customers. And that's one of the reasons why this actually has been interesting to me from an academic perspective.
Well, let's get into the basics of the machine learning model that you and your colleagues developed. How does it help crews decide where they should look for lead pipes?
Sure. We're using all the information about individual households, so the parcel, the location, all of the service line materials that we know about of its neighbors, the exact year that it was built. We're talking about, obviously, before the federal ban on lead lines in the 80s, but there are certain periods of time, say in the 1920s and 1940s, where it seems much higher prevalence of lead being used in Flint. And we're trying to just generate the probability that any given home has lead or galvanized steel or copper.
So the city's so-called Fast Start program for pipe replacement used your method as part of its approach to identifying these hot spots. What were the results?
At that time, in late 2016, there was really a big question mark of how many lead service lines or galvanized that need to be replaced are there in Flint. And so early on, we really looked at our success by saying for every 100 homes that the city was going to with the intention of replacing, how many of those homes really did need replacing? And that number was around 82%, which we thought was good, but we thought we could improve it even. And that doesn't mean that 80% of Flint had lead galvanized steel. That wasn't the case. So we were trying to do better than just searching randomly across the city.
The city eventually hired a national construction firm to continue the final stages of the project. But after the transition, the company didn't continue with your model. What happened when they started doing their own approach?
Well, throughout 2018, when my colleagues and I weren't involved, we then were contacted by the NRDC and ACLU, who were involved in some litigation.
And I just should note that the NRDC is the Natural Resources Defense Council.
That's right. And they asked us to analyze the data. And what we found was actually for every 100 homes they were going to with the intention of replacing those lines, they were only finding lead at about 15 of those. So instead of 80-some-odd percent, it went down to 15% in just a matter of a few months. And that was a bit concerning.
Flint Mayor Karen Weaver has said that she wants every service line excavated fully to prove which lines have lead. And that's because in some cases the city was using a method with water that just exposed part of the pipes. And that method ended up turning up some pipes that crews thought were not lead, but then they actually were. Let's hear from Karen Weaver again.
I certainly wasn't going to put cost over the public health of the citizens of this city. That's what happened to us before. And so we have chosen to do the traditional excavation.
So if the mayor wants all of the lines in the city fully excavated anyway, why is it still important to use the algorithm to target the work being done?
If the city is going to go to every home, that's terrific. But for every day another resident sits at home drinking water out of lead pipes, that's another day that they shouldn't be, that they're suffering the health costs and also the costs of trust in the local institutions. if you had a list of homes, which is what we're really providing, that says, here's a few hundred homes that almost definitely have lead, and here's another set of a few hundred homes or a few thousand homes that almost definitely don't. Which ones, if you had to choose just a few hundred homes to go to next month, which ones would you choose? And I think this is going to be serving as a model nationwide as other cities are starting to really reckon with the fact that not only do they have lead lines, but there are so many homes that just have unknown records. And it's that unknown that we're trying to provide answers to.
Now your project is back in use, and the details of the overall pipe replacement project have been dictated by the results of a federal lawsuit you referenced earlier by the ACLU and the Natural Resources Defense Council against the city and the state. How many more lines do you think the city really needs to check at this point? And do you think they're on track to meet the deadline of completing everything this year as the lawsuit requires?
Based on the latest data, by the end of March, it looks like just a roughly around a bit more than 2,500 homes will likely have lead service lines. This is out of the several thousand homes that have yet to be inspected. Based on the city's expectations, the targets look like they're on track.
Eric, one of the problems that led to this situation is record keeping, you know, decades and decades of records about pipes and whether they're accurate or not. What is the long-term plan for the information that's being collected now that you've been working on?
Transparency and trust is really a big issue here. And I think one of the benefits of this effort that the city of Flint has really undertaken is now the data will be really clear. And we now have plans to work with the city, community members, and the plaintiffs in this lawsuit to put together something that's really public-facing, something that is easy, accessible, mobile-friendly for people to just look on their phones or computers or even just a poster and be able to see exactly where the lead service lines were, where they are now, where they're expected to be. And knowing that kind of information really should empower residents to really see what information is out there and what they ought to be doing about that if they still have lead lines right now.
Eric Schwartz is a professor of marketing at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Eric, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks so much, Doug.
Our coverage of the fifth anniversary of the start of the Flint water crisis will continue this afternoon on Stateside. Today's entire program will be about Flint, and you can hear more of the interview with Mayor Karen Weaver. Join us for Stateside this afternoon at 3 o'clock.